Oye, oye, oye.
Do you wonder what voir dire is? What is involved in the process of arraignment? And who was that Marbury fellow anyway? Welcome to Speaking Plainly, Breaking Down the Law, a collaborative series that will break down questions about the law into everyday language. Now, here are your hosts, criminal justice professor Dr. Christine Artello and public affairs librarian Nia Rogers.
Hi, Dr. Artello.
Hi, Nia. I think we're talking about the grand jury process today.
Yes, we are. And so is this like the part where I get my notice from the government? Welcome to you have to serve on a jury.
Well, yes and no. Most jury summons are usually for trial courts, but some individuals opt for a grand jury instead to control when and how long they serve in some jurisdictions. But as you've probably noticed, it depends on it, and most things in the law as to where you are and in which court you're in.
Of course it does, because it always depends. You have never given me once a just this is always the case answer. So I don't believe in anything anymore. That's everything depends on something else. So what is a grand jury?
Grand juries are the other way people can be charged with crimes. And grand juries are old. They come from our old English common law history. In other words, we brought it with us from England in the colonies, along with those wigs that they wear, you know, sometimes. So, yes.
And our general hatred of kings.
Yes.
Okay.
And when we were the colonies, the grand jury system provided protections from unjust indictments of individuals who were critical of Britain. Many grand juries would choose not to indict an individual. In one famous case, the newspaper publisher Peter Zinger was charged with seditious libel for criticizing the king. The grand jury refused to indict him, though.
See, seditious libel, that sounds really cool.
It's not.
It's not? Okay, because it sounds all like, ooh. But I didn't know grand juries could do that. I thought that, like, okay, I've always heard that lawyers say that a good prosecutor can get a ham sandwich indicted. So I didn't realize there were times when they could say no.
Yes, there are times they can say no. They can always say no to you. But nothing is ever as simple and as easy in the law. It's nuanced, and it depends on the details.
Of course. So let's talk some details. How many people sit on a grand jury?
At the federal level, grand juries consist of 16 to 23 jurors.
Can anyone be on the jury?
Sorry, not anyone. So you have to be a U.S. citizen. So you can be a naturalized citizen or you can be born a U.S. citizen. You have to be over the age of 18. So anyone under 18 can't serve on the jury.
That's probably fine.
Yeah. You have to reside in the jurisdiction, which makes sense because you have to be part of the community.
Yeah.
You have to have no felony convictions.
Okay. Some people I know that lets them out, but okay.
You have to speak, write, and read English.
Okay. Oh, because all of our court stuff is done in English, except where we break into Latin for random reasons.
Yes, or French.
Okay. Oh, that's right, Napoleonic. Okay.
So, and suffer from no physical impairments that might hamper their participation as a juror.
So, like, if you're blind or you're deaf, you can't serve on a jury?
Well, not necessarily. If the case does not have something in it where your sense of either sight or hearing are critical for the evaluation of evidence. For example, if you're doing a counterfeit case or something, sight might be very important.
Yeah. Does this thing look like this thing? You would need to be able to look.
Look and see.
Okay. So that might also mean not fully blind, but if you were visually impaired enough that you couldn't.
Possibly.
Okay.
Another example might be, again, you can have blind and deaf individuals serve on the jury.
Okay.
It depends on what the case is. If the case has a video that has sound that you have to be able to hear the sound to be able to make a judgment as to what's occurring and who's doing what. Then you're going to have to be able.
Would be hard.
Yes, you may not be able to fully participate. You might miss nuances of a 911 call or something that really you can't get in the transcript that's going to be discussed in the jury box.
Gotcha.
So that's going to be a question. So those might be examples.
Okay.
But that's rare. You can serve if you're blind and deaf and it does not impede with your participation.
Good. Cool. Let's say that I just got the notice in my mailbox to be on the grand jury. How am I chosen? Am I just special? Is that what it is? I'm so fabulous?
Well, you are special.
Yay.
But it's you and about 199 of your closest friends.
So I'm not that special.
Well, probably not. And you're all going to meet at the courthouse. And then there's the purging of the grand jury.
Like the movie. We shall purge you.
No, not quite.
Oh, good. Okay.
It's not that bloody.
Oh, good. Okay.
This is Law and Order.
Oh, right. This is a gentle purging.
This is a gentle purging. And since at the federal level, grand juries can last up to 18 months with an option to extend to 2 months, the purging, 6 months. So up to two years.
Okay.
Up to 2 years. The purging is where potential jurors with a compelling reason not to serve present their case to be excused. That's what's meant by purging.
Oh.
So if you are running a business or you have family or health obligations, this might be where you are presenting those problems. However, that also creates a problem because then who is serving on these grand juries? Well, you have a limited community. It's not a cross-section of your community. So you're looking at those who are retired and others without burdened responsibilities. And grand juries are supposed to be representative of the government, of the community, and sometimes they're not.
Oh, yeah, because it would be hard for me to serve for 2 years because I am I'm a single person who I am the sole person responsible for my support. So I would have to be excused if it was going to be a long case. And that takes me as a member of the community and people like me out of mm-hmm. the pool. I see. Okay.
Yes.
So if I'm selected, though, I could be there for 2 years.
Not necessarily. Grand juries serve to complete the task in front of them.
Oh, so if you have a shorter case, then you would serve less time. I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. But if you got into something that was... this is going to be eons long, right?
Yes.
Then it would be, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Russia investigation, right?
Exactly.
Has gone on and on and on.
Yes, the Russia investigation, which went on, I believe, for nearly 2 years.
Wow, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's take Skippy's case.
Great. So after the grand jury is sworn in, the judge will charge the grand jury.
Charge?
Yes, these are statements by the judge, and they're going to be based on the situation in front of him. Sometimes they warn of particular dangers related to the instance under review. Most of the time, they're stump speeches about law and order, constitutional rights, and include the history of the grand jury process and their responsibility as a grand juror. And they also warn them about the secrecy of the proceedings.
Wait, they're secret proceedings?
Yes, they are. It's one of the main differences between the preliminary hearing and the grand jury. Grand jury proceedings are secret.
Okay, now that sounds kind of contrary to what we think about with justice. Why are they secret?
Well, there's several reasons why you're going to have a secret grand jury. One might be to prevent individuals who are indicted from fleeing, to ensure the grand jury deliberations are free from pressures or witness tampering, to enable people to testify without fear of retribution, to protect the identity of the accused, who in the end may not be indicted.
Oh, well, that's true. I mean, if it gets out that you're having a grand jury about somebody, I mean, like if you announced that publicly at the beginning, a lot of people would see that as a preliminary step to guilt.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so it does serve a purpose, but there may be reasons to open a grand jury proceeding to the public. And the judges have to make that determination on a case-by-case basis to open the proceedings to the public.
Oh, so they can open them. It doesn't have to be secret. It's that it's generally secret for the reasons you mentioned.
Yes. The vast majority of the time, they are secret. And most of the time, if they are ever made available to the public, it is long after the case is resolved.
So they're secret forever.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't understand that part. Oh, so it's not just secret now. Oh my goodness, I can't keep a secret a week. I would never last on a grand jury. Okay, so what happens after the judge charges the grand jury in Skippy's case?
After the judge is done with the charging and his little speech, the judge hands the grand jury over to the prosecution.
Wait, the judge just bails? Like, there's no judge in the room?
No judge. He's out of there.
This is random justice. It's silent. It's scary. It's secret. And there's no judge. All right. So no. who oversees the proceedings?
The prosecutor oversees them. The prosecutor is the one who's going to run everything. So they're going to be presenting evidence about the case. And in Skippy's case, the prosecutor will have the testimony of the investigators, the other campers, yourself, Dr. Xavier, probably, and from individuals who gathered the evidence at the scene and analyzed it. So, and then they will enter probably evidence like the knife, any clothing, that, as well as the medical report about the death.
Can Skippy testify?
There is no right for the defendant to testify to the grand jury.
Okay, this is nothing like the trial system. I mean, I get that it's partly like the trial system, but still, holy cow.
Well, and the reason for that is because witnesses may not have an attorney present in the room. Attorneys have to wait outside the room to be available for consult, but they can't be in there with the witness.
So if I get called to testify and I want to ask my lawyer before I answer something, I have to say, hang on a minute, I'll be right back, talk amongst yourselves, and then I go to the door and I go, and then I come back and say whatever.
Yes, that is about what you would be doing. You would say, you know, I need to step out of the room to consult with my attorney on this question, and then you would go out in the hallway, consult with your attorney, and then come back in and either answer the question or invoke your right against self-incrimination.
Ooh, can I do that?
Yes, you can. But then the grand jury can obtain a judicial order that is called transactional immunity.
What's transactional immunity?
It means that what you say in your testimony can't be used against you in a prosecution.
Sweet! Get out of jail free card!
One-time use.
Wait, okay, so I have to save that up then and use it at the right spot. Okay, so you mentioned earlier that the rules of evidence were relaxed in preliminary hearings. What about in grand juries?
Generally, the rules of evidence do not apply.
I'm not sure how I feel about grand juries now. Does the prosecution have to present all the evidence, even the stuff that's bad for the state?
Ah, we have finally gotten to the ham sandwich that you brought up earlier. Prosecutors are not required to show any exculpatory evidence. So if Skippy has an alibi, they don't need to share it with the grand jury. They're not required in any way to present the defense's arguments.
Okay, can I just say that from everything that you've just said, this doesn't really sound all that fair. Why do we have the grand jury system?
Well, first, for some controversial cases, it's a great way for the prosecutor to present a case and see how the community responds to it. It also is cost-effective, as preliminary hearings with fewer people, like a judge is not required, or defense counsel. So a defendant doesn't have to pay for the mini trial in the preliminary as well as the trial. They're only paying for the trial representation. Defense counsel will ask for continuances in preliminary hearings, which are going to delay things. Grand juries don't have to deal with that issue.
Well, yeah, because there's no defense attorneys in the room.
So, but the other great thing about grand juries is they have some investigative powers, such as the recently discussed in relation to the Russian probe. Grand juries can subpoena testimony and also can subpoena documents. These are wonderful tools in an investigation to find out what is happening. But the greatest support for grand juries come from their shield activity. They act as a microcosm of democracy. It allows the public to screen criminal cases and decide what cases are worthy of prosecution. Research has found that grand juries do their job well. Of the cases where a true bill is issued, as high as 98% of the cases result in a conviction in some places.
Wait, what is a true bill?
A true bill means the grand jury agrees with the prosecutor that a crime has been committed and this person has more than likely committed it and should be sent to trial. Now, in Skippy's case, now what has happened at this point is you've had his case is in federal court, so the assistant U.S. attorney for that jurisdiction will present the evidence. he's going to be taking testimony. He's going to be showing the physical evidence. He's going to be presenting any other physical evidence that's going to be supportive of it. And then the jury is going to vote. And it needs to be by a majority. So they will either come back with a true bill, which says he's committed the crime and should go to trial, or no bill, which means they didn't find enough evidence to support the indictment. And the prosecutor may seek to bring the indictment with a different grand jury.
Or jury shopping.
A third option is what's called a presentment, which is rarer. And it's what we sometimes may call a runaway grand jury.
Runaway. So what is a runaway grand jury?
So this is where a grand jury votes to undertake an investigation that goes beyond the indictment. And this is where they issue a presentment, which is a report filed with the court naming individuals the jury wants to have found to have committed crimes.
Oh, okay. So that's big.
That is big.
So we talked about standards used in preliminary hearings. Which ones are, which one will the grand jury use for skippies?
So at the federal level, they use both the probable cause and the prima facie case standards.
Will Skippy be indicted?
More than likely, because the AUSA will be able to show the elements of the crime. A person is dead by homicide. The circumstances do not indicate any accidental means. The AUSA will be able to show that Skippy was in the park, that he had been wearing the shirt. He was absent from the camp during the same time the crime was being committed, that he had a knife that was similar that was used. He no longer has this knife. And he was also wearing the clothing that was found that was bloody. We had the boots that had probably blood on them, so they're probably going to be presenting the fact that he had blood on his boots. They may have run the DNA on that and say it's from the park ranger.
And he doesn't get to say, no, she fell on that knife several times all by herself and then wiped herself with my shirt. Or he doesn't get to testify.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you one other question about the secrecy part of this? So if they're so dang secret, how do we know they're happening? Because sometimes, I'm just saying, CNN will say, there's a grand jury off talking about Bob and Bob's crime. How do we know that that's even happening if it's all hush, hush, hush?
Well, the people who are sworn to secrecy are the prosecutor, the judge, and the jurors.
So witnesses are coming out and saying,
yes,
I got called over to talk to this grand jury about Bob. I don't know who else is there, but
yes,
just letting you know there's something going on with Bob.
Yes. And then there's also might be grand juries that are under seal. So there's no open public record for them. And then there are grand juries that are not under seal. So the grand jury is happening, that if someone was aware that a grand jury is filed, they can go see that it's filed. They may not know who is talking to the grand jury, but that's another way that they do it. So there's some public record that a grand jury is occurring on an issue.
Okay, so it's not just CNN bugging the courthouses all over the nation.
No, but if...
Which we would not put past them, no offense to CNN,
well,
but you know.
You see people going in and out of the courthouse.
Oh, okay, so if like the beat reporter is hanging around and they see somebody show up and then somebody else and they make a connection between those two,
you've got a grand jury.
Oh, okay. All right, just wondering. All right, so I guess next time we'll talk about what happens to Skippy after the indictment.
Yes, we will.
This was Speaking Plainly, Breaking Down the Law. The discussion here is purely academic. For legal advice, please seek an attorney. Thanks to the workshop for technical assistance. Special effects by Isaac Hobson. Find more information at scholarscompass.vcu.edu.